Well, good afternoon. Thank you all for joining our education finance press conference today. We had a very lively conversation this morning that we'd like to address. We would like to address some of the critical issues that demands our attention and our concern, and that is the potential dismantling of the Department of Education under the Trump administration. While this topic might seem very political, it strikes the very heart of our society, impacting the future of over 870,000 students enrolled pre-kindergarten through 12th grade, and that's over 2,000 schools, 325 school districts. So it is not a partisan issue. It is going to affect every single school and every school child in Minnesota and across our country. For a little bit of background, let's look at the funding freeze attempt. This is a temporary block, but it is still uncertain, and it's based on the comments from the president's press secretary, and they still need to, we still need to make sure and find out if they intend to pursue these goals. Last week, there were three executive orders, one laying the groundwork for extensive defunding of public school by implementation of school vouchers under the guise of educational freedom. Last week, another attempt to defund schools was based on Trump's administration's radical ideology promoting authoritarian censorship of curriculum and whitewashing the history of the United States under the guise of patriotism. And soon to come is the dismantling of the Federal Department of Education. Multiple sources from the White House have indicated that the president that President Trump intends to sign an executive order to dismantle the Department of Education. Today, our Republican colleagues told us not to panic, saying that things are just going to work themselves out. We are not believing that, and we are not confident that that would happen. Others were actively cheering on the dismantling of our nation's administrative state. One thing is clear. They have made zero public attempts to dissuade Trump from his administration from continuing their attacks on public education. My colleagues and I planned and walked into that hearing this morning with heavy hearts. All of us are invested in the education of our students, the protection of our teachers and their rights, and the democracy that we live in. But we are prepared to learn about those federal funds that go to our schools. That was the important thing for this morning. We've already experienced the impact that a reduction to federal funding can have on our school districts with the loss of $400 million of the ESSER pandemic relief funding. And already we see and we hear about the holes that those funds have filled. Imagine if we have billions of dollars frozen at the federal level. How are we going to feed our kids? How are we going to make sure they have the curriculum they have to learn? How are we going to make sure that they have the student support systems, that the transportation is there? There is so much at stake right now. We learned today in the Education Finance Committee that federal funding on education is mainly through a reimbursement process. That means that the school districts have already spent those funds, and they'll be left holding the bag if the federal government doesn't fulfill those commitments. Tell me how we are going to create a budget that not only looks to the future, but also fills those holes. Those are the things that keep us up at night. We still don't know whether the executive order will respond, will jeopardize Title I funding for low-income students, our English learning students, or special education, or those other fundings that make up the difference in our school districts. Yet an unelected billionaire, Elon Musk, was recently given access to the Treasury, and we have concerns over the implications that this has on Minnesota student private data. We collect so much data on our student, whether they filled out the free and reduced lunch forms, whether they are enrolled in English learners or special education, are they on athletic teams? There is so much. What about our testing? If there are people who do not have the security and might use that data in nefarious ways and have that access not just on our students, but on our parents and private information, that's a huge concern for all of us. Minnesota takes pride in recruiting and retaining diverse student work, teacher workforce, and we wonder if our efforts for the increasing students of teachers in color is going to be jeopardized by those executive orders. And will that mean losing funding if we continue to put those dollars in some of the areas that we need them most? Republicans in the Education Finance Committee attempted to diminish the impact Trump will have on education funding. That is 100% true today. Even saying that they are excited about the destabilization in public education. Can you even imagine that? But they are going to be singing a very different tune, and I'm sure that once they realize the effect that it has on school children across Minnesota, on their own children, on the constituents that they promised and pledged and swore to protect and look out for their best interest, what will they do then? There's no going back. And so the hearing that we had this morning for me was incredibly informational, and I hope that our Republicans and the rest of the people that were listening and learning along with us recognize what kind of a historic destruction road we are on, and we're here to make sure that we minimize as much of it that we can. So thank you for being here, and next I would like to invite my Vice Chair, Senator Gustafson, up for a few words.
Thank you. Today it was clear that even Republicans are uncomfortable with the chaos that Donald Trump is creating. While they publicly fall in line and no doubt support him in private, they don't like being confronted with the damage his leadership could bring to our state and our local schools. The last 2.5 weeks have been nothing short of chaos. And while Republicans love to remind us that we don't know what's going to happen, the truth is that's exactly the problem. We don't know what's going to happen because they don't know what they're doing. Right now, Trump is drafting an executive order to dismantle the Department of Education. Just last week, Senate Republicans invited superintendents across the state to testify before the Education Finance Committee about the urgent needs in their schools, funding for buildings, workforce, curriculum, and support staff. We were told, listen carefully to their concerns. And yet today, these same Republicans defended a president who is threatening to eliminate 10% of our education funding. That's $1 billion, including critical support for special education, students with disabilities, and school meal programs. What else is potentially on the chopping block? Programs like Math Corps and Reading Corps, which directly address student achievement and help put teachers in the classrooms. Things our Senate Republican colleagues say are important to them. And beyond that, the National School Lunch Program, which supports Minnesota's school meal program. At a time when families are already struggling with rising grocery prices, Republicans are backing policies that could cost the average Minnesota family almost $2,000 a year. Since Trump took office, it's been nothing but chaos. And that chaos doesn't just stay in Washington, D.C. We are feeling it here, and it impacts every Minnesotan, every community, every school district. Aid is frozen, and then it's not. Tariffs are imposed, and then they're lifted. No one knows what's coming next. Schools can't plan for a future when unstable leaders treat critical funding like it's a bargaining chip. Minnesotans should know that we are doing everything in our power to protect and fund our schools. But with the Republican-controlled Congress, Senate, White House, and Supreme Court holding all the power, our ability to act is limited. But it is not zero. That's why we need you. Contact your local Republican representatives and demand that they stand with us to support our students, our schools, and the future of Minnesota. This isn't about partisanship. It's about stability, opportunity, and the well-being of our children, all of our children. Let's fight for them together. Please welcome our newest colleague, Senator Clark.
Thank you. I am here as a parent of an 11th grader in Minneapolis Public Schools, a school district that I hear on the doors wants stability. This chaos agenda is undermining the stability that we need and that we must have. Kids need in the classroom the same teacher year after year. This is going to cause our schools to go, all right, I may not be able to bring that teacher back. We must be able to maintain and retain teachers and staff to ensure we have stability in the classrooms, to ensure that we have stability for our students, especially our teachers and staff of color. That's what reflects my community. That's what reflects our communities around Minnesota. And this is going to undermine that and will cause our students to have worse results. So I echo Senator Gustafson's call. Please remind all policymakers what these cuts will cause. Thank you. And now, Senator Swedzinski.
Thanks for being here. One of our colleagues this morning said we're panicking, and we're not panicking, we're being proactive. And I taught American government for 33 years, and I think most of my kids would say you did a good job presenting both sides to the issue, and you presented both sides. In fact, when I used to have my students read the excerpts from the People's History of the United States, I'd also have them read the Patriots' History of the United States to have that perfect balance. I'm not sure if I could teach this to my students right now. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure I could convey to them, well, here's what I think the Trump administration is really up to, and I think this is what they're thinking. I would struggle doing that, and I don't think there was another issue in my 33 years that I could look my students in the eye and say, I can present both sides to this issue. I'm struggling with this. And I struggle with the fact that I got up this morning and I thought there'd be something on the front page of the paper. Again, thank you for being here today. And I found what I was looking for on page, way buried in the paper here. And what the little article says is we are diminishing the Department of Education in order to defund the Department of Education in a month. And why that wouldn't garner more headlines is dumbfounding to me, because we're talking about a million Minnesotans. If you add up the number of students, the number of cooks, the number of bus drivers, the number of administrators, the number of educators, and you add them all up, you're talking about almost one out of six Minnesotans are affected by this. And for it to be buried in the paper is disheartening. And I hope all of you elevate this to where it needs to be, so that all the people out there that are going to be impacted by everything that you're hearing my colleagues say can be better informed in order to make better decisions. And again, thank you all for covering this. Oh!
It's all good.
Sorry. Erin May Quaid, Senator, is going to follow me. And, you know, and don't forget Thomas Paine in 1776, when he was looking at what was happening in America, he told us, these are the times that try men's souls. Mm. And, you know, powerful words from over 250 years ago would do the math. And but a nice reminder of what we're going through today. These are the times that try men's souls. Sorry.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. I'm Senator Erin May Quaid. I'm the vice chair of the Education Policy Committee. And I think people keep waiting for a thing to happen to say that the Department of Education, that our federal government has stopped giving money to Americans, that we are under siege, and that thing has already happened. We are on page 226 of Project 2025. Earlier this week, an unelected billionaire and his college minions were given unfettered access to the Department of Treasury. That is the data of every single American who has their data at the Department of Treasury. Spoiler alert, it's all of us. Recently, in the last 2 days, those same unelected billionaires and their minions were given access to the Department of Education and all of the data about our student that lives at the Department of Education. They have said openly that they want to collapse all this data together and run it through AI to find efficiencies. Now, I don't know how they're going to find efficiencies when they have fired all of the employees of various agencies. This morning, we heard from our state colleagues that for the reimbursements that they get for school districts, the school districts have already spent it, the state has already spent it, and they wait for the federal government to reimburse them. Who's going to reimburse them if nobody can run the formula? Who's going to reimburse them if Elon Musk controls the payment system? Who's going to reimburse them if college students are running code in real time that they've just made up without security clearances on our payment systems? The thing has already happened. There are already food shelf partners who cannot access funding from the USDA. That's where we get our money monthly for Minnesota school meals. It is already happening. And we heard today from our Republican colleagues that this is great, that destabilization is great. They're excited about it. Minnesotans are not excited about it, no matter who they voted for. No matter who they voted for, Minnesotans want to be sure that their kids can go to a free public school and get a quality education. They can learn how to read and write, make friends, do math, play outside, learn about science. What they don't want is to know if their district isn't going to get reimbursed for special education services and they're going to be out millions of dollars that they already spent. What they don't want is for districts to have to come and figure out how to replace 10% or more of their budget. This is very, very serious, and we need our Republican colleagues to join us, regardless of party, to say that we cannot build a budget this way. We could adjourn sine die on May 25th, and on May 26th, find out that all the federal funding is gone. What do we do then? If they turn off funding in September, what do we do then? This is not a way to govern. It is not a way to create a budget, and we have to build a budget. This legislature has to build a budget for 2 years. We can't even count on the next 2 hours. What is happening is absolutely outrageous, and we know Minnesotans share that outrage. We are getting calls from constituents. We are getting input into forms. My WIC card has been turned off. Those babies don't get those days of nutrition back. My clinical trial for cancer has been canceled. They don't get those days of health back. I don't know if I'm going to have SNAP. They don't get those days of nutrition back. So the chaos is already here. The harm is already here. We can't keep waiting for something big to happen. It already happened. And we are asking our colleagues to join us in saying we cannot continue this way. In fact, their president might listen to them better than they'll listen to us. But what we heard today in committee was incredibly disturbing, and we're going to hear it from other committees throughout the week and into next, because what the federal government is doing is unleashing terror on Minnesotans, and we are going to stand in the way and make sure that we protect Minnesotans as much as we can. But again, Republicans control the House, the Senate, the White House, and the Supreme Court. Our ability to do so is limited.
Jeopardize a billion in Minnesota
for education.
Mm-hmm.
I guess when it comes to the Department of Education, just for people at home that don't quite maybe know the hierarchy of how everything works, what would be the practical impact if the Department of Education at the federal level was either diminished or completely abolished? What would that mean for MDE and Minnesota here at the state level?
So the really sad story or answer to that is we don't know. We absolutely don't know. Of course, if they turn off the funding, immediately we will have those impacts. Just as Senator McQuaid said, schools have already spent money, and they are expecting reimbursement for that. That's money that they are already out of pocket for. If they turn it off, all of a sudden, they're not getting reimbursed. They're not getting reimbursed for school lunches, school breakfasts. They're not getting reimbursed for special ed services. And so when we look at how to plan for the future, and the future is tomorrow, and the future is next week, it's impossible for us to plan for the next 2 years as well. And so I believe this is part of their strategy, is to confuse and, as we've said, destabilize. The problem is we don't know, so we don't know how to plan.
I just have a clarifying question about that 10% that the Minnesota Department of Education showed you today that's federally funded. You just said $2 billion, but I believe I heard in the presentation that it was $1.4 billion.
So yes, if you look at that pie, $1.4 billion, but there are other grants, there are other funding streams that our schools have access to, and at the end of the day, those dollars are growing, and that's how we come at that that higher rate of $2.2 billion. Yep.
Last week, I think it was President Trump himself said that they had already canceled a bunch of contracts, a lot of things related to foreign aid, DEI. Are you aware of anything in Minnesota specifically related to education that's already been canceled or funding that's already been taken away?
I do not know of anything absolutely specific, but we sort of expect that anything that is connected to diversity, anything that's around... truth in history, ethnic studies, all of those sort of things, I would imagine might be affected by that. But until we find out, we won't know.
How would it work? You know, you're seeing some like businesses and private companies, you know, preemptively taking out DEI policies. You know, the sort of trying to hire more teachers of color, anything that the administration might interpret as DEI, would districts have to, would they preemptively have to take a step on that? Would it have to be something that lawmakers pass? Or I'm curious how that could work or roll out.
I would imagine it would start at the school district, kind of a district level decision. And if there are ways that we can continue to encourage them to use those resources that match and meet the diversity of their students and their staff, if it comes down to saying you can't, you know, hire certain people or you have to, you know, rearrange all of these things, I would hope that that's not the case.
Does the 10% of the state budget, does that funding come directly from the Department of U.S. Department of Education?
Of the education budget? It's just the education. It's not the entire state. Yep. Yes, it does. Yeah. And you might say, well, as one of our members said, well, it's only 10%. I mean, the state does the other 90%. But how do you say that's not a big deal when it's billions of dollars, when it's the money that goes right directly to our schools? That was, I feel, a really, you know, disingenuous comment.
One more?
Can I just add one more?
Yep. And Senator Elise Mann.
Just to add to that question, how is anybody supposed to do that? How are we going to tell black kids that we're not going to hire teachers that look like you anymore? How are we going to tell our indigenous kids, we're not going to talk about your history anymore, we're just going to talk about these kids' histories because your history doesn't count? How are we going to traumatize an entire generation of children in Minnesota so that we can uphold this anti-DEI thing, ridiculousness coming out of the federal government? We're going to traumatize children, we're going to dehumanize children all over the country because of this. So when we ask, what's the next step? How are we going to comply with federal orders? The question is, how are we going to dehumanize and traumatize children? How do we do that tactfully?
Go ahead.
This is not, probably you don't enjoy this question, but do you have any response to those conversations from Republican colleagues this morning in terms of we should be focusing on the mandates that were passed by the DFL in the past 2 years? Do you have anything you want to respond to that?
Yeah, only because I was the chief author of the READ Act. Republicans would love to pretend that what is happening at the federal government isn't happening, but it is. And every single American, every single Minnesotan is experiencing this terror right now. We have some conversations in the state of Minnesota, and they started in 2010 when Governor Dayton ran on an explicit promise to raise taxes on the wealthiest to pay back our schools. And in a time when people were trending right, we elected him to do that. Minnesotans value our quality public education. And so if we want to have detailed conversations about what's the best way to construct a cell phone policy, we work with districts to do that. The thing we're not working with districts on in the state of Minnesota is how can you cut 10% of your budget because the federal government can't function anymore because an unelected billionaire and his college minions hostily took over the Treasury Department. That's not a conversation we're prepared to have with districts. And so they want to focus on mandates because they don't realize that all laws are mandates, and they're not interested in public schools existing. They're interested in siphoning off public money to go to private religious schools so they can defund schools for kids of color. That is what they're genuinely interested in. And so it's a disingenuous argument that they make to undermine public schools, people who send their kids to public schools, and the students who attend those schools.
If I could answer your question, too, just on a budget basis. Last week, I believe, Republicans held a press conference in the same room, and they talked about teacher shortages and how they needed more money for things like just school infrastructure. Really hard to take that argument seriously when the next week they sit in our Education Finance Committee and they nod along as we list all of the things that Trump's administration is doing to our schools. If we have our superintendents, and many represent their own districts, who are begging for just 2% extra on the formula, and they're begging for 2% on the formula, and the Republicans are saying it's no big deal to cut 10% of the entire budget. So it just doesn't add up, and you start to wonder, is the fight for education with them just a political talking point? Because the numbers don't add up. We're here fighting for every single dollar that our kids deserve, and they're just nodding along as these executive orders just dismantle an entire education budget. It's just been nothing but chaos. And to say that we are panicking for no reason, when every day you never know what's going to come out of Washington, D.C., makes it hard for our school districts to plan for the future. And that's really what it is. It just comes down. School districts are like little mini towns, and they have to balance a budget too. And it's really hard to do that when you can't count on where the funding is coming from. So that's what we're asking for. We're asking them to join us in the fight so we can provide some stability to our school districts in all parts of Minnesota. Yeah.
Thanks, folks.
Thank you.